Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues. Today's Issues, the name of this program here on American Family Radio. I'm Tim Wildman with Walker Wildman and Steve Jordahl. Good morning, Steve.
Morning, Tim.
Walker, again, tell folks how they can participate here on the show.
Yeah, one easy way is to visit our website, AFR.net. You can also download our app on your smartphone, tablet device. Just type in American Family Radio in the App Store. And lastly, we're on social media, Facebook and YouTube. Just type in Today's Issues. You can watch the show and catch some news stories on our social media pages.
All right, Steve, what's happening, my friend?
Boy, things are getting ugly in Caracas, the capital of Venezuela, right now. The challenger, the man who allegedly won a popular vote, Juan Guaido, has said that he is calling for an uprising to overthrow the government of President Nicolas Maduro. And Fox is showing, or has been showing, we've been watching some quite stark violence in the streets. And don't know who's on what side, but we do know that President Trump and the State Department have weighed in, and they are saying that they are on the side of the upcoming of Guaido. They want Vice President Pence is declaring support for the protesters. They want Nicolas Maduro, the dictator that has driven Venezuela into the ground, out. But they better tread carefully, Walker, because this is there's some violence and some stuff going on that the U.S. might not want to be associated with. I don't know.
Yeah, a coup is one of those things you better hope you win. I think Dad said that before a year or two ago about Turkey when they had their
yeah. If you're going to take down, if you're going to take down the king,
you better win.
You better win.
And to the further this point, the Trump administration and Guaido, they must be sure that they can win this coup. Otherwise, I don't think they would have initiated it. But it's going to be interesting to see who wins out there.
Guaido has said the National Armed Forces have taken the correct decision and that the soldiers are protecting the Constitution. He seems to believe that he has the military on his side. Now, as we're watching, I was talking right before we went on the air. We were watching, and on Fox, they were showing a live shot, and a military vehicle, an armed vehicle, just plowed into a crowd of protesters. I don't know whose side that was on. I don't know who's offending who in that area, but it is getting ugly.
Yeah.
That'll be in the news.
Yeah.
All day and for the next few days, probably. I don't know what the resolution is likely to be there in Venezuela. I was talking to a lady the other day who's from Venezuela, and she has family back there, and she's really worried.
For good reason.
Yeah.
For good reason.
All right, next story, Steve.
Federal authorities said on Monday that they had thwarted a domestic terror attack in Los Angeles. This is a former military veteran or a current military veteran. His name is Mark Stephen Domingo. And if you read, he said that he was aiming at multiple Southern California targets, including Huntington Beach, the Santa Monica Pier, Long Beach. And he was doing this in retribution for recent attacks on the mosques in New Zealand. If you are reading in the New York Times, you have to go all the way down to almost the bottom where you read that he was a recent convert to Islam and expressed support for the activities of ISIS.
Yeah, you know, this happens often. By often, I mean this happens probably 8-10 times a year at least, where somewhere in our country, a massive killing spree is stopped or thwarted by the FBI, maybe in conjunction with local police authorities. And so it's a one-day news story, whereas had it taken place, it would have been a big, big story for a long time. And more focus and attention would have been assigned to it, but this, yeah, I saw this in the news yesterday, in Drudge, I think, or once again, you had a person who's a former
Army veteran.
Army veteran in Southern California, and he converted to Islam. And so he wanted to. Then he was unknowingly working with FBI.
Right. I guess he wanted bombs. He was calling for another Las Vegas type shooting. Yeah. He wanted to get a lot of people, and so he unable to build a bomb himself, had to buy one. The FBI, fortunately, was the ones that provided him with a dud. He had already bought pounds and pounds of nails that he was going to put in this bomb to create havoc.
Yeah, but what he wanted to do was die a martyr. That's what he wanted to do. Again, if you watch, folks, again, I only point this out because the news media will not, at least the vast majority of the news media will not point this out. As Steve just said, in this New York Times article, you have to get down to the very end to see where this guy recently converted to Islam, because the liberal news media here and abroad, they want to cover for the Islamic jihadist because it makes Islam look bad. And their purpose is to make Islam look good. That is, the purpose of the liberal news media, both here and internationally, is to ignore the connections between Islam and jihad. So, and that's why Obama and Hillary Clinton did the same thing. Their job is to make Islam look good, not to...
It's an amazing thing to me, because this whole pro-Islam thing started basically on 9/11, when within, I don't know, a month or maybe even less of weeks of that attack, you heard leaders of the Democrat Party starting saying, now, can't be very harsh on Muslims.
Well, President Bush did too, though. President Bush did the same thing. Because I'll give President Bush a pass on that to a certain extent, because I think he was ignorant. And I mean, I don't mean that in a
generic sense.
Yeah, I mean that. I mean that as in a real use of the word.
Yeah.
Right.
Without knowledge.
Right.
Ignorant. Mm-hmm. So, but again, you have that demographic. Here, this guy is 26 years old. Keep in mind, again, I say this, I've said this many times, but you have to understand this, because the liberal news media will lie about this. They'll ignore it. Why do you see the 22 to 30 year olds doing this in their males, the jihadists around the world? This guy, Mr. Domingo is his name. Last name was Domingo in Southern California. He wanted to murder as many people as he could with these bomb attacks, but the FBI thwarted it because he said he wanted to die a martyr.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I know I'm repeating myself, but in order for people to explain, hopefully people listening to me can then explain to their friends and family and coworkers,
right,
who go, well, that guy's just insane. He's just nuts.
Yeah.
The reason the 26-year-old male wants to do this is because he knows the teaching in Islam of jihad, dying a holy cause.
Right.
He said he wanted to be a martyr. He goes straight to paradise.
Mm-hmm.
If you die a Muslim otherwise without being a martyr, then your eternal destiny is up to Allah when you die.
Yes, that's their teaching.
So there in Christianity, we know that we place our trust and faith in Jesus Christ,
right,
for the forgiveness of our sins.
And that's what grants us eternal salvation.
And we have eternal life,
right,
in Jesus Christ.
Right.
The Islamic teaching there is that you have no eternal
security. Unless
you have no security. You have no security of an answer,
right,
that you're going to paradise. You don't know till you die. It's what Allah wills, right?
Right.
But if you die a martyr...
Yeah, it gives you a better chance of making it to paradise.
You get a pass into paradise.
Yes.
So that's the reason somebody is willing to blow themselves up.
Right.
Is because they're rewarded for it.
Yes.
It's not because they're insane.
And historically, throughout world history, the only way to defeat evil ideologies, which many would say that this is not an evil ideology, but I would say it is to call it what it is. With racism and the KKK... With Nazism, and communism,
white
and
supremacy.
Marxism, all of this, everybody knows, hey, that's what it is, and that's wrong, and we need to defeat
it. We call it that.
With this, we mask over it, cover it up, because, oh, we don't want to be against Islam.
Right. And by the way, I get a little amused when I hear people who say, because you're criticizing Islamic extremism, you're a racist.
Well, Islam is not a race.
Right.
To my point.
Exactly.
Whatever you may be, you're not a racist because you criticize.
Right.
Again, all Muslims don't practice this. They don't subscribe to this. But there is a strand, a significant teaching inside the Islamic faith about this. But it's never criticized.
And they're not even all Islamists. Islamists or Muslims are not even Arab.
No, Iran
is a white country.
Indonesia is the largest Muslim country in the world. Again, to Walker's point, I give you a prime example. When you had the New Zealand mosque, remember that?
Yep.
The guy went in there
and shot up the mosque.
Shot up the mosque.
Dozens of people.
Well, the whole world called out this guy for being a white supremacist. Right?
Yes.
And they said it's his white supremacist ideology that led to him murdering all these Muslims in New Zealand. And I would say if that's accurate, and it was. Then absolutely, let's call it out for what it is.
Absolutely, right.
But when you had the 300-plus people die in Sri Lanka because you had Islamic supremacists murdering people in the name of Allah, the same people who said, let's condemn white supremacy, called what happened in Sri Lanka terrorist activity.
Right.
They were unwilling to cite,
type of terrorist activity?
What type? They were unwilling to say the ideology behind what happened in Sri Lanka, just like what happened in New Zealand, needs to be called out. Islamic supremacy, if that's what you want to call it, yeah. Islamic jihadism, but they won't do it. They won't do it. So I remember when President Obama, this is 8 years ago or so, was asked. He was traveling in India, I think it was, and he was asked by a student. It caught him off guard and was on tape. What do you think about jihad? And he acted like he didn't know what she was talking about. And then he finally said, "Well, jihad means a lot of different things to different people." So he did. That's what he said. Is what said. And then a few years later, he was forced out, smoked out, so to speak, about his feelings on. He said he doesn't use the term Islamic Jihad, President Obama, because it's a mischaracterization of the religion. He didn't want to blame all Muslims for, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. To your point, there's been a feud going on between Kellyanne Conway and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez about this very thing. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez taking a little bit of offense at Kellyanne Conway, calling her out for not tweeting at all.
Who called who out?
Kellyanne Conway called out Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez because she said nothing after tweeting vociferously about the Christchurch the mosques.
She had 14 tweets condemning white supremacy after the Christchurch assault in New Zealand.
Right.
But after the 300-plus people, Christians, were murdered at Easter worship services in Sri Lanka, AOC had nothing to say.
Right. And Kellyanne was talking this morning about that.
That's a fair criticism.
I think it is. Let's listen to what she had to say this morning on Fox and Friends.
I'm on television shows, and I'm asked constantly, why didn't Donald Trump say this? Why did he use that word? Where's the semicolon in his tweet where I believe it should be? And I said, hey, why does anybody ask Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who you give a hero's welcome to, all you fangirls ever bother to ask her why she's been completely silent on the massacre against Sri Lankans on Easter Sunday? She had tweeted many times about the killings in the mosque in New Zealand. She had tweeted about other things, faith. So I'm not questioning her faith or anyone else's, but why was she silent? So she said on Twitter, hey, I was away from tech. I was visiting my grandmother for Easter. I think that's wonderful. But the very next day, as they were still picking through the rubble in Sri Lanka looking for survivors or the deceased, she had time to tweet about her Netflix documentary.
So I think
Steve? Why do you think that
I think
AOC does not tweet about all the Christians murdered in Sri Lanka?
It's exactly as you say. It doesn't fit the narrative of what terror is for the left. narrative, their narrative of terror is white supremacists. They keep talking about the rise of the alt-right.
But why do you think that is? It's, so they fail to, they will not acknowledge that Islamic supremacy exists.
At the heart, I think it's a spiritual battle.
In what way? Expound.
In the fact that when Christians are attacked, I think the spirit of the age somehow convinces the people who are not controlled by the Holy Spirit that they deserved it.
That's sick.
What's the saying? The common enemy of my enemy.
The enemy of my enemy is my friend.
Yeah, I think that kind of applies here because we all know that the left has been coming after Christianity and Christians for years now. It's even escalated. And if Ocasio-Cortez, Hillary Clinton, and others, if they recognize that the Sri Lanka attack was an attack on Christians, not, quote, Easter worshipers, it was an attack on Christianity, then somehow they're going to have to make a decision. Do I side with Islam and the radical jihadis, or do I side with Christians against terrorism? And I think they don't want to have to come to that conclusion.
Such an easy choice.
Why not, would you say? I know I'm peeling back the layers here and I'm asking for opinion, but why not?
Because then the left will be partnering with Christians.
And that's worse than condemning Islamic jihad.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Because they fundamentally disagree with us on every social and political issue.
So for the secular left in this country, the so-called progressives, the only conclusion you can draw by what Kellyanne Conway just pointed out, and others could be cited as well here, you had 300 people dead at Easter worship services in Sri Lanka of Christians who were targeted for their faith, and these were innocent people. In Sri Lanka, they're like 7% of the population, the Christians are. They had not been in any kind of war with anybody over here. This was strictly a murder for no reason, except that the men who did it wanted to go to paradise.
Right.
That was the only reason they did this. But I agree with what you guys are both saying here, and I know it sounds...
It gets very complicated.
It's complicated somewhat, but for people, they can't process this. But I agree that for the secular progressives, they would rather ignore they would rather not condemn Islamic Jihad by name than to be siding with Christians in any way. Yes. And I think it's spiritual, like you're talking about.
I do believe it's spiritual. We think our political opponents are wrong. They think we're evil.
Yes.
And so when...
That's why they want to crush us.
That's why they don't want to side with us. They side with the evil Trump supporters? Are you kidding?
Even on things that are common sense issues, like jihad.
Yeah, and that's why Joy Behar, is that her name?
Yes.
That is.
That's why she said, in a moment of, I guess, just open candor... Maybe you can have closed candor, I don't know, but of open candor. Remember when the Catholic school kid, Nick...
Salmon.
Salmon? Remember on the mall in Washington, Lincoln Memorial? She said, as it turned out, it was the Native American protester who confronted these young boys and tried to provoke them. Mm-hmm. But before that, because we only had the picture, it looked as if the young man was trying to provoke the Indian man or the Native American or the indigenous man. I don't know what you want to call him now. I can't keep up with everybody's names they want to be called. But anyway, remember Joy Behar said, but we wanted it to be true.
Yeah.
In other words... We wanted it to be true that this white teenage Christian kid was berating the little Indian man.
Right.
And when it turned out to be true, because we wanted to blame Trump.
Yes, that's exactly what you said.
So we didn't really care about waiting on the facts. We just wanted...
It was an opportunity to bash President Trump.
Right.
And that's why, she said, that's why basically why we pounced on it without knowing all the facts.
Right. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues, Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Next story, Steve.
British Columbia up in Canada. We've been talking, I think, a little bit about this father who has been ordered by the court not to refer to his daughter as a girl because she is now considered transgender and wants to be a boy. The Supreme Court has issued some more guidance on this to the police. The 3-page document declares that the father, who the pseudonym they're using is Clark, will henceforth be subject to arrest immediately and without warrant if any police officer has reasonable grounds to believe that he has in any way referred to his daughter as a girl in public or in private.
So that's in Canada?
That is in Canada. They don't have the First Amendment in Canada, but they do have reasonable laws up there.
Right.
But
wow.
Well, that could be coming to a country near you if we don't watch out.
There's only one country nearer to me than
Canada.
Right.
And this is coming in maybe a milder form. It's already in the U.S., and that is people of the psychology profession and even some parents in certain states have faced pushback or punishment because they don't want to conform to the sexual deviancy agenda and call their kid what they want to identify as. So we're already seeing some pushback, but you know, if you take that to the farthest extent, which is happening in Canada there, and that is the criminalization of parents who don't want to conform.
This is not a live and let live world these people want. These LGBTQ activists, they want you to bow the knee, and especially the Christian. They want you to have to bow the knee to them and applaud them. Or else you're going to be your life's going to be ruined.
Already in many states, Christian parents cannot seek counseling for their kids who are suffering through some of this dysphoria, and it could get worse as Democrats are trying to push what's known as the Equality Act, which is probably likely to pass the House but not the Senate.
Keeping an eye on that, by the way, and we'll be reporting on that, won't we, Walker?
Yes.
But it's a dangerous bill. That kind of lays out any public accommodation is now. I mean, it kind of takes away. It overturns by law the Jack Phillips case and other gains.
Yeah, and a lot of people don't know this, but it will nationalize the Target. Remember, we still have the boycott going against Target over their bathroom policy and changing room policy, which basically allows men who quote self-identify as women to go to the opposite sex changing room. But it will nationalize that bathroom policy across the country. So any place that has a public accommodation,
if it's passed,
if it's passed, like a coliseum or any kind of city facility, a ballpark or whatever, men would immediately have access to women's restrooms, and that's not an overstatement.
Can you imagine a ballpark where some jerk has had way too many beers and decides it's a good time to go sightseeing
in the women's restroom, and nobody can say anything about it.
Oh,
yeah,
right. So it's woefully misnamed, folks.
Mm-hmm.
It's called the Equality Act, and you'll be hearing us talk more about this. But basically, it's designed to shut down any criticism or any conviction that a person might have about homosexuality or the LGBT life.
Yes,
community. In other words, you can't object to it publicly,
right,
or you will be shunned, banned, or imprisoned, or fined, or both.
Right.
I said both or all four.
Mm-hmm.
All the above. But we'll keep an eye on that in the coming weeks. Thank you, Steve.
My pleasure.
Folks, go to onenewsnow.com for all the stuff we've talked about today, or our Today's Issues Facebook page as well. And pray for our country every day, and pray for our president every day. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Take care.